going through it and looking at what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi. And as we look at the second chapter of Philippians, as Paul begins the second chapter, he lifts up Jesus and he lifts up the humility of Jesus as a model for us. And he discusses what Jesus did on our behalf. But as Paul goes through the second chapter, he moves to two individuals. And we're going to look at these two individuals today and study this portion of God's Word. This portion may not seem as theologically rich as what Paul says in the earlier part of chapter 2 of Philippians. But I want to say today that even though this portion of Scripture may seem insignificant, there is actually something very significant for us to learn and take away from God's Word this morning. So would you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you would help us as we read your Word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would give us illumination and understanding and help us to apply your Word to our lives today so that we can live for you and so that we can glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please listen to God's Word. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Several years ago, a 78-year-old man in Hartford, Connecticut, was crossing a street. And as he was crossing the street, he was struck by a car, and he was paralyzed, and he lay in the street. Car after car passed this individual, Angel Torres, and did nothing to help. No one stopped. Several people walked by the sidewalk, saw him lying there on the ground, but no one stopped. Now, what made this event significant is that they had all of this on TV, that it was recorded on a camera. And they showed this over and over, person after person, not stopping to care for this individual. Apparently, the police did, however, receive several 911 calls about this individual in distress. Despite this, the police chief of Hartford, Connecticut, declared that his city had lost, quote, its moral compass. Another city official said that this scene was despicable. Another event happened in San Bernardino, California, where a reporter paid an individual to lie in the gutter on a road. The reporter wrote down all these individuals who passed by and did nothing to help. No care, no concern for this individual who was just lying there. This morning I want to ask, is it possible to be a good Samaritan today? Must everybody harden their hearts in order to protect themselves? Perhaps service and sacrifice are ancient virtues that do not fit in our modern society today. But even in Paul's day, mutual concern for others was not a popular virtue. Now, we know that in the first century, Christians were very concerned about other people. When people outside the church looked at believers, they saw compassion. They saw the compassion of Jesus. They saw the church caring for those in need. They saw Christians caring for the elderly. They saw believers in Christ caring for the injured. They saw believers in the first century caring for infants who were discarded on the trash heaps. That's what the church was known for in some instances. And yet we also know that in some cases, the church fell short. In some cases, the church did not show compassion and love. And what we learn today is that even among the Christians that Paul was with, there were many who were simply focused on themselves. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, the church that he had earlier done mission. He had earlier done mission work in. Paul is writing back to them in prison, and what we learn from the very beginning of our passage today is that no one in the Roman church cared about the Philippian believers, and this is what Paul talks about there in verse 20. He says to them, I have no one else like him. He's talking about Timothy here, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. No one but Timothy cared about the Philippian believers. Think of that. Everyone in the Roman church. This is not what it should be. This is not how the church should be acting. But this is what Paul talks about here. Now, so far in this letter, Paul lifts up his own positive witness, his own efforts to advance the gospel, his own concern for the Philippians. Paul also lifts up the humility of Jesus. So those are the two people that are lifted up. And then we come to our passage today where we have two other people are lifted up. Why does Paul do this here? Well, if you are reading this letter at the church of Philippi, you are, okay, we have Jesus lifted up, okay, God incarnate, the Son of God being lifted up. How can I live like Jesus lived? So some people were saying, this is too much, I can't be like Jesus. Some people in the Philippian church were saying, I can't be like Paul, who can be like the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary in the history of the church? How can I, I didn't have a spiritual experience, a Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul had. So as Paul is writing to them, he gets it. He understands that not everyone is going to be able to understand the example of Jesus or his own example. They won't be able to relate to it. So what he does here in the portion that I read is he lifts up two ordinary Joes, two people that everyone in the life of the church can relate to in the first century and everyone in the life of the church today that we can relate to as well today. We can submit like Timothy and Epaphroditus did, and we can be humble like these two individuals did. So the reason that this portion of Scripture is in here, it may not seem significant, but the reason it's in here is that it gives us a window to what the Christian life should be like and how we can live for Christ today. We learn from this passage that Timothy had a servant's heart. Verse 20 tells us that he was concerned about what? He was concerned about the welfare of the Philippians. Paul says that Timothy had a genuine interest in them. This is what we must have today as well. We must have genuine interest amongst ourselves as the community of Christ. We must have genuine interest for believers in our community, but believers around the world too. And that's what we're celebrating on this Compassion Sunday, that we care and are concerned with other believers. There's a unity to God's church, and we care about that unity, and we want to reach out to unbelievers as well. We want them to know the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be able to emulate the compassion of Jesus perfectly, but what Paul is saying here is that the average person, the average Christian Joe, so to speak, can live and have compassion and serve and have genuine concern for others. We learn from this text that Timothy understood what it meant to be united to other believers in spirit. We learn that Timothy put the interests of Christ above his own interests. And we also learn from what Paul says about Timothy here that he had a like-mindedness with Paul. Paul's whole mission in life was to advance the gospel, to share Jesus Christ. And what we learn in this text is that Timothy had the same mission as well. So what we learn is that as believers, we need to be on the same page. We need to be on the same page as Paul, but also with Timothy and with the church around the globe. There is truly unity amongst the worldwide Christian body because of the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. There are, you know, national boundaries, there's different denominations, but what matters is our belief in Christ, and that's what we call the invisible church. And there is great unity there. But what we see in Paul and Timothy is that they had their priorities right. They were putting Jesus first. And in the 19th century, there was a German painter by the name of Mansell. And he painted a beautiful painting. It started off beautifully. It had it was a painting about King Frederick. And he put the friends of King Frederick in the background. And he put the other German leaders in the painting. And he chalked out where he was going to put King Frederick, right in the middle. But before he could finish the painting, Mansell died. He never got around to putting Frederick where he needed to be. That's an illustration for us. We don't want to get to the end of our lives and not have Jesus at the center of our lives. We need to be like Paul. We need to be like Timothy. We need to be like Epaphroditus. We need to have our priorities in the right place. Tom Landry. We all know Tom Landry, right? Greatest football coach of all time. Okay. One of the greatest football coaches of all time. Tom Osborne is number one, right? Okay, Tom Landry is at the top. Won several Super Bowls. Great coach, amazing coach. They asked Tom Landry, what are your priorities in your life? Tom Landry's response was, Jesus, family, football. In that order. That's what our priorities need to be, and that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at here. He's saying that Timothy has the right priorities. And we learn in verse 22 that Timothy had proved himself. He was a hard-nosed believer, willing to share the gospel. He had proved himself. In verse 23, we learn that Paul wanted to send Timothy to the Philippians, but he doesn't do it because he needs Timothy's help in Rome. His outcome, Paul's outcome in prison was not certain, and he needed Timothy's help. So what did Paul do? He sends them Epaphroditus, this other great hero of the Christian faith who's lifted up here. Now Epaphroditus, that's an interesting name, right? It's a kind of a weird name. It's a Greek name meaning charming or loving. We know from Scripture that Epaphroditus had come from the Philippian church, had brought money to Paul, but had come to help Paul. What we know about his life is that he had genuine concern for others. When he came from Philippi to Rome to help Paul, he didn't just bring himself, but he also brought, what, money. He brought the stewardship of the Philippian church. He was an individual who sacrificed. He was a great believer. But what we know about Timothy, Paul's protege, and Epaphroditus, is that they both submitted their lives and their minds to God. What does Paul say about Epaphroditus here? What does he say? How does he describe him? Epaphroditus is my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, right? Soldiers are tough. My grandfather was in World War II. He was in various battles. He was tough. He was a tough hombre, a tough guy. You wouldn't want to get into a verbal spat with my grandfather. And he would talk about how tough he was. I wish you had the chance to meet him because he was a great guy. But the point here that Paul is making is that Epaphroditus did a difficult job. He did hard jobs. And because of this, he was a great blessing to Paul. And what he says here at the end of this passage in verse 30 is actually very significant. What does he say there in verse 30? He says that Epaphroditus, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Think of that. Epaphroditus was a believer who was hard-nosed, he had his priorities right, and he was willing to risk so much, even his very life, for the cause of the gospel. He cared about people. He had compassion for people. And these two individuals are models to us today. What they model to us is that we need to submit our lives to Christ. Today, I want you to think about this. What is God requiring us to do? Maybe he's requiring you this morning to do some hard things so that you can truly live for him. So that you can live out your faith in the way that Timothy and Epaphroditus did. What are some things? What are some hard things that we can do to live more fully for Jesus? Maybe it's making a total commitment for him. You know, not just following him halfway. Perhaps we need to get our priorities straight. Maybe Jesus isn't first in our life. Maybe he's fifth or sixth or seventh in our life. Right? What are the hard things that you and I can do to make Jesus first? Maybe it's a desire to learn more about Scripture or Christian truth or Christian theology, to grow in our knowledge. Maybe that's a hard thing, but we're going to do it. Is God calling you to do that this morning? Or maybe you want to do more in terms of your Christian service. Maybe you feel that your relationship with Jesus is really strong and that you're growing spiritually. But you feel and you sense that God is calling you to serve more or to do more outreach. Or maybe you feel that he's calling you this morning on this Compassion Sunday to help with Christian ministries like Compassion to financially support them or to help them in another way or to pray for them. Maybe God is calling you to do that this morning. It's not an easy thing. It's a hard thing, but maybe you feel that God is calling you to do that. Or maybe you're here this morning and you feel that, you know, you just don't feel that your relationship with Jesus is very strong. You feel very weak. You believe, but you want to grow deeper. Maybe God is calling you to grow deeper in your faith this morning. What are you going to do to make that happen? Maybe there's some hard things, some hard steps that you need to take in order for that to happen. I want to encourage you to take those hard steps this morning. Take a risk. We learned from Scripture this morning from Epaphroditus that he took risks, even risked his own life. What are you willing to risk this morning? You know, Jesus deals with this very clearly in Scripture. In Luke chapter 14, I encourage you to turn to that gospel. We see something very interesting that Jesus says here about all of this. Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." What is Jesus talking about here? What Jesus is talking about here are half-built towers. And if we look at our lives spiritually, if we look at where we're at in our Christian walk or in our Christian faith, oftentimes, unfortunately, our lives are half-built towers. What Paul lifts up this morning is that Epaphroditus and Timothy, even though I'm sure they had their imperfections, they were built towers. In many ways, fully built towers. And what God's word is saying to us this morning is that we need to be like them. We need to be fully built towers. So that's the challenge this morning. Are you going to do what it takes to live like these two individuals did? This passage may seem very insignificant, but in reality, it has a very significant meaning for us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that wherever we are at, that we would not have our lives be merely half-built towers for you. Help us to consider the cost. Help us to lay the proper foundation. Help us to take risks. Help us to step out in faith and live for you fully and completely. Help us to be more passionate believers. Help us to grow spiritually day by day. Lord, we know that we cannot do this on our own. Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would give us strength and give us power as we seek to follow you day by day. We pray this in your name. Amen.